Good morning. This is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It's Tuesday, June 11th, 2024. I got to get this out the door before I go on a little holiday. And I got to recover from COVID before I go on a little holiday. It's official. My wife got COVID again, and so did I. I'm somewhere around day 9 or 10 now. It's not too bad. A lot of, so far, a lot of thick mental fog on the weekend. My first experience with that, I think. My first experience with true mental fog. We hear about it, this notorious symptom, but I don't think I'd ever really experienced it. For the record, it felt a lot like being high. It felt a lot like a cannabis high. A lot of pot stop. A lot of unable to stay on a train of thought. Fortunately, this happened while I was having a pretty relaxed Saturday evening is when it hit. I wouldn't want to try to operate heavy machinery or, you know, get anything useful done whatsoever. But when you're watching a stupid movie, Argyle in this case, it's fine. I just coasted through it. Like I said, a lot like being high. So yeah, that's going on. So this is a bit of a substantive blog post before I recover from COVID and go on holiday. This is the audio version of the post, Can Pain Be Conditioned? The Plausibility and the Evidence. So can chronic pain be a learned response to things that shouldn't hurt, like Pavlov's dogs salivating to the ring of a bell? Classical conditioning, that is. It's an interesting idea with obviously optimistic implications, because what is learned might also be unlearned. And if you can do that, then, you know, that would be a cool brain hack, a clever and surprising solution to one of the hardest problems there is. It is a bit unlikely, but also so interesting that it is worth discussing and exploring. So this is an excerpt from a major update to my full article on this topic. Focusing on the plausibility and the evidence, I wanted to add discussion of those to the main article. It didn't have enough, so I added it. Significant update to that article, and it makes for a good blog post. Spoiler alert, conditioned pain is quite implausible with little science to back it up. Surprise, surprise. So it's amazing how many professionals believe that pain can be conditioned, most of them, at least 80%, according to Madden et al. But, you know, low plausibility and a lack of evidence never seems to stop people from believing things. And it's not going to stop me from talking about it because of the interesting factor. So let's start with the plausibility. Why so low? Because despite all the mysteries of life, and there certainly are a lot of those, we do know this much. Conditioned responses are behavioral, physiological, and emotional. Hunger, fear, anxiety, excitement, and not sensations. So conditioned responses are behavioral, physiological, not sensory. That is, we can't be conditioned to sense things that do not exist. We cannot learn to hallucinate on cue. That's not a thing that anyone knows about classical conditioning. We cannot be conditioned to smell a pie baking, see a walrus, hear a fart. So why would it be possible to learn to feel pain? Well, there might be answers to that question. Pain is rather complex, and there is plenty of controversy about how it works. So, for instance, the key to this phenomenon, if it exists, might be related to the fact that pain is interoceptive, sensing things inside the body. And interoception might be fundamentally more susceptible to conditioning than exteroception, sensing the outside. But the point for the moment is just that all such possible answers are just speculative for now. The fact that conditioning doesn't involve tinkering with sensations at all, as far as anyone knows, is a large conceptual hurdle here. It's so large that it should make anyone hesitate to believe in conditioned pain without really good evidence. It is an extraordinary claim about how humans work, and most ideas turn out to be wrong. Most ideas about health and biology turn out to be wrong. And now for a dorky epistemology detour. I just said most ideas are wrong. Isn't that spectacularly cynical? Oh, yes, it is. It really is extremely cynical. And that cynicism is wisely baked right into science with the weird null hypothesis thing, which is a formal way of saying that most ideas about complex things turn out to be wrong. And a rigorous scientific test will probably find nothing, also known as null. So the null is usually confirmed in science because there are just too many things we still don't know, and human ideas about how things work are very, very badly polluted with all kinds of biases and foolishness. But biology and health, that is next level complexity, a black box that makes other black boxes feel downright pale. Our ideas about how bodies work are particularly sketchy. And so most medical trials of virtually any tricky idea are either negative outright, or more common today than ever, quote-unquote positive results that are just doomed to be overturned by more rigorous studies. Understanding that it is unwise to bet against the null is like knowing that the house always wins. That's important context for an idea like we can learn to hurt, which 80% of professionals believe without the benefit of clear supporting evidence. End of dorky epistemology detour. Back to pain conditioning. So what have we got? The evidence for pain conditioning, such as it is. A 2023 trial by Kang et al. Is one of the few direct tests to date. It concluded that, quote, conditioned pain may exist, albeit most likely in rare cases or under specific situations. And that may exist conclusion, damning with faint praise, perhaps, if it can be trusted at all. It is at least consistent with a 2016 review of what little other direct evidence exists by Madden et al. But it's not enough to go on. And Kang et al. Has been strongly criticized by some experts, arguing that the results are meaningless because the test was quote-unquote rigged. Asaf Weissman, this is a quote, "I would change the name of the study to In Search of Conditioned Pain, a Monumental Waste of Time. The discussion of the authors who performed three different experiments is quite honest in admitting that they were not really successful and that the risk of reporting bias is too big. Additionally, they did not attempt to control demand characteristics. Hence, the supposedly positive result in the two experiments are suspected to be an artifact of lack of control for demand characteristics." End quote. So even in light of positive findings in two out of three experiments, those results do not support the hypothesis. The idea... Oh, sorry, that wasn't the end of the quote. This is still the quote. that's an error. I need to put that inside the quote. And then I just accidentally navigated to the bottom of the document. Okay, I'm back. So let me rewind slightly there. Asaf was still saying, and I interrupted him. The end of his quote is, "So, even in light of positive findings in two out of three experiments, those results do not support the hypothesis. The idea of conditioned pain is nonsense," says Asaf. In a follow-up comment, he suggests that more research is, another quote, quote, "a waste of time because an experience cannot be conditioned. Do you think I can condition your experience of the color red to be green?" Okay. That's the end of the quoting, and I am quoting Mr. Weissman, of course, for the sake of acknowledging who disagrees and why. This is a strong disagreement between experts, and I just don't think that non-scientists can really pick a winner here, so I'm just going to do the thing where I say, here's what some experts say, and here's what some other experts say. What about indirect evidence? There is plenty of that. Plenty of indirect evidence of conditioned pain. That can keep hope alive for those who believe it and try to follow the science. So, you know, not many. Just as one example, there's a bunch of these papers, and I discuss all of them in my full article, this post just being an excerpt. But here's an example. McCarberg in 2019 was a review of the literature on the neurobiology of the relationship between memory and pain. concluding that pain can be modulated substantially by cognitive and emotional inputs, and thus, quote, chronic pain can be seen as persistence of the memory of pain and or the inability to extinguish painful memories. Not evidence, not direct evidence, but these conclusions and, you know, the discussion around them lend some support to the hypothesis that classically conditioned pain is possible. So there's a lot of research like this. There's really quite a lot. You could spend all day reading papers that give you some hope, but there's a mighty gap between that research, between research that shows that conditioned pain could be possible and research that shows that it actually is. So, time for some conclusions. Ha! Not really conclusive conclusions. That's the evidence situation such as it is, so it is a bit squishy. Mostly just an absence of evidence and not evidence of absence. But 80% of professionals believe it. Alrighty then. For the foreseeable future, the existence of the phenomenon of conditioned pain will remain a matter for speculation, debate, belief, opinion, and, of course, scoffing at people who don't agree with you. It's very important to include that in science. Critical part of the scientific process, scoffing. All right, I'm going to return to trying to recover from COVID before going on my holiday. I have lots, really too much content in the hopper. You know, like I've got like about 80 posts that are about 80% ready. They always take longer to finish up than you want, but point is, you might hear from me again soonish, despite the fact that I'm going on holiday, because I got lots of stuff almost ready to go, and I will try to get it out to you as soon as I can. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.